I'm going to start off today with a verse I started off with last week. And it's this, Psalm 35, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continuously, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Now, we know this. I've preached on this several times. I mentioned it last week. I'm mentioning it again today because I want you to get it into your psyche, into your spirit, that God has pleasure in your prosperity. God wants you to be prosperous, church. Amen. In every area of your life. I'm not talking about prosperity. I'm not talking just about money. I'm talking about every area of your life. Physically, he wants you whole. He wants you healed. In Jesus' name. And it's time for us to really realize that. But then we got to do some things before we can even begin to believe God. And that's what I'm going to try and cover today. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. This is one of the preliminary verses that leads up to verse 4 and 5, which I'm going to blow up to you today. Okay? But I need to start with this verse because it's very important. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. We walk in the flesh. We walked into this building. That's us walking in the flesh. All right? But we don't war according to the flesh. And I'm going to explain the next verses, and this will bring out what the flesh is. Okay? We walk in it, but we don't war according to it. Your war is not against your brothers and your sisters. It's not against your family members, your boss at work, your neighbors. No, no, no. That's not where your warfare is as a believer. It's a spiritual one. And our eyes have to be open to that. And we have to be disciplined in our areas of our life to make sure that we're fighting the right kind of warfare. Because if you find yourself fighting a fleshly battle, then you're not doing what the Word of God says. That's not what God has prescribed for us, his people. And you're going to make some changes. Alright, so let's look at verse 4. This is the first of the two verses that I'm going to blow up. Can we read it together? Ready? Read. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, for many of us, this and the next verse will be very familiar verses. And sometimes, you know, there's a saying, familiarity breeds contempt. And sometimes when we read things and we become familiar with it, we can even quote it, and it means nothing because we don't really understand what this verse is actually saying to us. So that's the objective today, okay, to understand what this verse is saying. But let's read verse 5 as well. It says, ready, read. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So these two verses that we just read, these are the two verses. I'm going to look into the Greek of some of these words, and I'm going to blow them up. I'm going to show you what they actually mean and what these verses are saying. And then for each of these two verses, in blue, you'll see it later, I'm going to give you my breakdown of these verses, what they're actually saying, so that hopefully it brings out clarity. So let's go back to verse 4. Verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. The word weapons, okay, is a Greek word. I'm giving you the breakdown so that you can see. I do my research, okay, and I love studying God's word because I found out a long time ago that when the word of God is saying more to us than we really realize, and when you look up the Greek, when you look up the Hebrew, you actually see a lot more when you read the Amplified versions and when you read other versions as well. It brings it out much more clearly. So that's what my intentions are here. Okay? The word weapons is the Greek word hoplon. And it means any arms or armory or implement used for warfare. Now this word is used almost every single time in a metaphorical sense. It's only once, and I think I have it there. Did I give it to you? Yes, John 18 verse 3. It's only once where it's used literally in the New Testament. Every other time is used metaphorically in a good sense or metaphorically in a bad sense. All right? So that's that. So it's any implement, any arms, any armory, okay, that is used in warfare. So then we need to understand, well, what is warfare? When the Bible says warfare, what does that actually mean? Well, the word warfare is the Greek word strategia. What English word do you think we get from that? Strategy. Thank you. All right? Strategy or strategic. All right? A well-planned attack. That's what the word means. Okay? So the weapons, the armory that we use, okay, in a well-planned attack, a strategic warfare, okay, are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, the methods, this word also means methods to be used in an attack, and the route chosen to carry out a debilitating assault. Let me make this very clear. It's talking about the weapons that God has made available to us, the tools that God has given us, the implements that He has given us to use in this warfare that's not carnal but spiritual. And that's why the Word of God says it's mighty, and we're coming to that word mighty in a moment. The weapons that we're given in this to use in a strategic attack against the enemy, a well-planned attack, or the route that we are to choose to carry out a debilitating assault against the enemy, okay, that is mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So we see that it's warfare. It's not just, oh, two people going out to fight or two armies going out to fight. It's much more than that. It's a strategic attack. You cannot have a strategic attack without planning. You cannot plan without knowing who the enemy is. See, you've got to know who the enemy is. Listen to me carefully, church. The enemy doesn't want you in fellowship in church. The enemy doesn't want you in prayer. The enemy doesn't want you in the Word of God. And so you've got to recognize that. That's why Paul said, again, in 2 Corinthians 2, I think he said that, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We're not without knowledge. Scotus is the Greek. We're not without knowledge of his devices, the things that he uses against us. As a matter of fact, that word devices is actually, I'm not going to go into that now, but it's actually to do with your mind, your thinking. Because the Greek word is a nousos, right? From which we get the word mind, nous. All right? But anyway, the weapons of our warfare are strategic, are not carnal. They are carnal. Let's have a look at that. They're not fleshly. They're not under control of animal appetites or human appetites. They are not mere human nature. That's what the Word of God is saying. That's what the word carnal means. The weapons that we're using in the warfare, they are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not anything of human nature. Why? Because it's coming from God. God has given it to us. And He's given it to us for a reason. God's not going to give you armory. God telling you to put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6. He's not going to tell you that we need to be aware of the devices of the enemy. He's not going to tell you that we've got to do all these things and beware of we've got to know in Ephesians 6 the wiles of the enemy. He's not going to tell you all these things if you haven't got an enemy. So you do have an enemy, but the enemy that you have is not flesh and blood. It's a spiritual one. And if you do not recognize it, you will be fighting a wrong battle and fighting in a wrong way. And then the devil is just going to stand up there laughing. Oh, look at them. See, we got them. Look. Look at her. She's not talking to her brother. Look at him. He's not talking to his sister. Look at them bickering. Look at them just resenting one another. That's a fleshly battle that leads nowhere. Are you with me, church? Church, are you with me? So we've got to be aware of this, okay? Carnal. It's not carnal, but it is mighty. Come on, say mighty. Dunata is the Greek, and it comes from the root word that you've heard me say over the years, so many times. Dunamis. Okay? And look at that. Dunata, it means power that comes with enormous energy and producing extraordinary results. That's what you have. I said, that's what you have. I know. You see how it's quiet? Because it doesn't feel like you have it. But since when are we going by feelings? Listen to me. If God says that's what He's made available to you, guess what? He's made it available to you. That's what you have. But you see, the strategic plan of the enemy is to not let you know that you are powerful. Remember what Luke 10:19 says? Behold, Jesus is speaking. He said what? Behold, I give you power. Over what? Over all the power of the enemy. So you have power over the devil, because the devil is your enemy. Come, shout with me. I've got power. Oh my God. Lord, forgive them. I said shout and they talk. Shout with me. I've got power. Come on, let the devil know. Say it again. I've got power. You are powerful people. I can stand here and say that because that's what God's word says. It's made it available to you. Now, sometimes we don't feel that way. You know why? Because we don't recognize that we're powerful people. We're not exercising the authority that God wants us to exercise. And so therefore we live somewhere else. Now, I've got to move on because I'm just exhorting today. I just want to lift these up to you. But I want you to get it into your spirit. Okay? This is not coming from Pastor David. This is coming from God's word. This is what God says about you. And you've got to believe it. Because if you don't, you know what? You're going to remain in the doldrums. You're going to remain insignificant. You're going to remain thinking wrong thinking. Thinking yourself less than how you ought to think. And the devil, that's exactly what the devil wants. But we're going to not going to give him what he wants. We're going to be who God wants us to be. So let's move on. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Now, you see that word in God? That's the Greek word to theos. To theos. And this is what it means. It means they are mighty in God. They're mighty through God. They're mighty in partnership with God. They are mighty through the instrumentality of God. That's the weapons that He's given to you. They are mighty through God, through the instrumentality of God, through partnership with God. That's why Paul says time and time again, we are partners, we're in partnership with Christ Jesus. We're workers together with Christ Jesus. Because God doesn't expect us to do it by ourselves. We can't. But in partnership with the God that we serve, we can do all things. Come on. All right? So that's very important. It's mighty, explosive, enormous power in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Pulling down. That word is the Greek word katheirō, which means to take down, to destroy, to disassemble, to dismantle, to demolish, to throw down, to cast down, to pull down. It means to take to pieces until nothing is left standing. I hope you're beginning to see a picture of who you are in Christ. You're not an insignificant people. You are a people with power. And it's time for us to begin to behave like it. How much of us have gifts and have talents and we're just sitting on it, not using it? Why? Perhaps because the enemy has led us to believe that you're not worthy. You haven't got it. Or you can't do that. Or the enemy wants to bring up, the devil wants to bring up your past into your present. So that he can, he's called the accuser of the brethren for a reason. So that he can diminish you and have you mentally thinking wrong things. Placing yourself where you ought not to place yourself. And now the gifts and the talents that God has given you is locked up, can't be used. Because the lies of the enemy have told you that you cannot be better. You cannot do better. That this is you and this is it. And it's time that we pull down these strongholds. It's time to pull down these strongholds. I said it's time to pull them down. Pull down these strongholds that are holding you back. Pull down these strongholds that say you can't. And it's enough just to come to church and sit and do nothing. Enough not to use your gifts and your talents. And you can't because of your past. That's a lie from the enemy. And we need to put the enemy right where he belongs, under our feet in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. To the pulling down of strongholds. What is a stronghold? excuse me, something that holds you strongly. All right? Here in the Greek, it's a fortress, it's a castle, a citadel. It envisions a strongly built place, okay, with fortified walls. Walls that are strengthened and built to do what? To keep the enemy out. All right? That's what a stronghold is. To keep the enemy out. Or to keep things out. Now, the scripture is telling us here that we've got to pull down these strongholds. Why? Because these strongholds sometimes are erected in our lives, in our minds, by the enemy. And it's keeping God out. It's keeping his power out. It's keeping his purposes out. And so we've got to, the word of God is telling us, we've got to pull them down. It's a place of arrest, and that's where the devil wants you. He wants you arrested. He wants you incarcerated. He wants you imprisoned. When you're incarcerated, when you're in prison, your liberty is taken away. You've got limited movement, limited things that you can do. You're constricted. That's exactly what the enemy wants. He doesn't want us to use the power that God has given us, but he wants us to believe that where we are in this locked up, in this prison, in this incarcerated place, this is where we should be. And in the name of Jesus, that is not the case, and that will never be the case for God's people. I mean, I won't allow it in my life, and I know you won't in yours. So we will recognize that these things are happening in church. We've got to pull them down in Jesus' name. I said we've got to confront them and we've got to pull them down. Don't ignore them and pretend they're not there. Deal with them. But pull them down in the name of the Lord. Because God has given us that ability. So, let me go to verse 4 again. This is what it says in your Bible. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down of strongholds. To the pulling down of strongholds. By the way, did I miss something? No, maybe it's the next verse. Now, I'm going to give you, and I said it earlier to you already, it's in blue. I'm going to give it to you, the breakdown as I have interpreted or blown up this verse so that you can have a little bit more understanding. This is what it says. For the tools of our strategic, well-planned routes of attack are not fleshly or governed by human nature, but comes with enormous power in partnership with God to dismantle, destroy, demolish, take apart until nothing is left standing. Everything that wants to imprison us, take us captive, and build walls around us to restrict us. Did you get that? And when you let that sink in, that is saying a lot. But let's go into verse 5. I've got 12 minutes. Verse 5 says this, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The word casting down is the same word that we saw in verse 4. Kathero. To take down, to destroy. So casting down is the same great Greek word used in verse 4 when it says to the pulling down of strongholds. Okay, it's the same word that's used. So we have the power to cast down, to take down, to dismantle, to demolish, to destroy, to throw down, to knock down, to pull apart, to take apart until nothing is left standing, everything that opposes us. Everything that opposes God's purposes and God's word. So, casting down what? Imaginations. Very interesting word. Listen to this. All right? Imaginations is the Greek word logismos. What word do we get from English from that? Logic. Logic. Everybody say logic. Logic. This is where we get the word logic, as in logical thinking. It denotes thoughts or reasonings of the mind. And this is why you have to be careful to some conclusions that you come to regarding situations, regarding your life, regarding others. Be careful how you're judging those situations. Because if you use your logical thinking to figure out things, right, without including the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life, you could get it completely wrong and mess things up. Logical thinking, you've heard me say over the years, logical thing. Logic has, the spirit doesn't know the way of logic. And this is a verse that proves it. It's a verse that proves it. So be careful how you use your logic to assess things, people, circumstances that surround you. Be very, very careful, because you could get it wrong. Okay? Where, this is where we get the word logic. Logical thinking denotes thoughts or reasons of the mind. And this is why our mind needs to be renewed. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. So our mind needs to be renewed. And this is why the Bible tells us to put on the mind of Christ. Because we've got to cast down now every logical thinking, every reasoning of the mind as to why. The mind will tell you, well, this is what I think, and this is what I think this should happen, and this is what I think. And this is the logical thinking. And it would seem to make sense when you think about it. Yeah, that does make sense. Yeah, that is logical. But it's not. It goes against the grain of the spirit. And this is where the difference is. Are you with me? That's why you've got to live and walk in the spirit, church. You got to do it. No matter what you come up against, and you will be coming up. If I should tell you right now what Pastor Joe and I have been through in the past 3 months, your mouth will be left wide open, because nobody here knows. Maybe Richard. Richard does. Nobody knows. And there's a reason for that. And I will share at some point, you know, some personal things. But there's a timing for everything. Time and a place for everything. And so Pastor David has learned to open his mouth and shut his mouth at the right time, and not talk when it's too early. When the Holy Spirit has told me this before, don't say anything. Then I don't say anything. But God is with us, and God, he has brought us out, and God will continue to bring us out. Now, I'm not talking about personal things, very personal things here. Okay? But God is with us. Okay? And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Look at that. So every is a Greek word, pan. It means all, everything included, an all-encompassing word, nothing missing, nothing lacking, everything gained. That's what it means. All. Casting down imaginations and every high thing, everything included. No high thing can come against you that God cannot deal with, that you cannot deal with, because God has given you his power to do it and his permission to do it. All right, that exalts itself, epero, to lift up, to wrongfully assert. The enemy wants to wrongfully assert thoughts, insinuations, and things in your life to let you think that you cannot win when God says that you're already a winner. Come on, man, say amen loud. If you believe it. Church, are you victorious? Are you more than a conqueror? Why? Because God's word says so. That's the only reason why. Not because I say so. I say so because God's word says so. Yeah? And you're saying so because God's word says so. Everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, against, the word kata in Greek, which means to dominate, to quash, to put under its control. In other words, the enemy wants to exalt and insert thoughts into your mind. That's where the battle takes place. Okay? To make you quash God's word. Quash who you know you are through God's word. Quash what God says about you. Quash and diminish you and your thoughts about you and your future. Come on, say with me, my future is a good one in Jesus' name. The devil will not quash any good that's in my life, because I have authority over all of his works in Jesus' name. All right, you said it. And exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. That's so important. This is what I'm going to say and show you right now. Against the knowledge of God. Nosios tuthio is the Greek. And it means, look what I wrote there. It says, words or information that finds its origin in God. What does the enemy want to do? The enemy wants to quash it. Words or information that finds its origin in God. Anything that comes from God pertaining to you, for you, the enemy wants to do what? Quash it. He wants to He wants to come up against it. He wants to quash it. He wants to diminish it. I don't know what's happening there, but it doesn't. Anyway, that's what he wants to do. He wants to quash God's word. But in the name of Jesus, that will not happen. Why? Because we won't allow that to happen. Why? Because we're standing on God's word. We're standing on truth. Are you with me, church?
Yes.
You're standing on God's word. You're standing on truth, man. All right. The knowledge of God. Let's have a look at, I'm going to show you something else on the bottom. So I've used the word against. That's a Greek word, kata. Kata, nosios, to feel. It's more than just the enemy just presenting himself in opposition to God's will and anything that originates from God. It's more than that. It's actually a warfare that has been depicted, right, against everything that comes from God. Every knowledge that comes from God. It's a warfare. So the enemy has declared war against the knowledge of God, against God's word, against you having God's word, you having God's knowledge, you having and being who God wants you to be. The enemy is declaring war against that. So therefore, he's declared war against you. So we've got to say, all right, the enemy has declared war against me, but I'm not going to allow that to happen. So I'm going to have to fight, and I'm going to have to fight right. I'm going to have to pull down these strongholds, and I'm going to have to recognize who the enemy is. But let me move on. Bring in every thought. Greek word is noema, which means thinking, ideas, insinuation, and it also includes your emotions. You've got to bring your emotions under control. You've got to bring your thoughts under control to the obedience, into captivity, to the obedience of Christ. You've got to bring them, because the thoughts and the ideas that come from the enemy will always counter what God wants us to do. So we've got to recognize that now, and we've got to say, well, hang on a minute. God's word is telling us here that I now have the responsibility to bring every thought. So I've got to be careful now, because that's where the battle takes place, you see, in my mind. So the thought that comes to me, the first thing I've got to do is it from God? Can I balance this in Scripture? Can I justify this in God's word? Can I do that? And if you can't, you're in trouble if you go down that road. But if you can, then you're not in trouble if you don't go down that road. All right? Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The captivity. I won't call that word. It means to lead away captive. This is what you've got to do now. You've got to take that thought and you've got to say, no, I'm going to lead that thought away now. No. I will not live the rest of my life without serving God, without using my talents. No. That thought that comes to me said I will never be successful. No, I've got to captivate it, get it. I've got to incarcerate it. I've got to imprison it. I've got to take it now, okay, and lead it away. I've got to captivate it. I want God's word to infiltrate and fill my mind. But before that can happen, I've got to pull down every thought that opposes God's word. You've got to captivate it. And then, and it says, into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And obedience there is a compound Greek word, hupakuo. Hupo means under, and akuo means to listen. So in other words, I've got to bring these negative thoughts that are in my mind under the authority of God's word. And I've got to say to my mind, mind, you're going to now listen to what God is saying to me. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're pulling them down. Because they exalt itself, you see. And they want to live up there. They want to rule. They want to dominate your life. But you've got to pull it down and bring it up to the obedience of God's word. No, God's word says, I'm more than a conqueror, so therefore I am. God's word says, I'm the head and not the tail, so therefore I'm not going to behave like a tail. And there's nothing there to wiggle because I ain't got no tail. But you know what I'm saying? I ain't going to behave like no tail. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. So you've got to captivate those thoughts that would want to say otherwise, that would want to counter the knowledge of God.
Captivate them. Bring them under captivity. Bring them under the authority of God's word. And let God's word be your final authority in your life, no matter what is happening in your life, church. And there are different things happening in our lives. There are different things happening. Shirley, I'm going to pick on you. You know, you've had a death in the family. And we're going to pray for you in a moment. We're going to pray for you. But Shirley. You've been consistent. Shirley has been consistent. She's never missed a food service. She's faithfully there. Every Wednesday, I drop the keys to her house. She's there. And she's never one day said, Pastor, I don't feel anything. Because why? She's making God her strength. And I believe her focus is right. Her focus is on the things of God. And so therefore she doesn't come up with an excuse as to why you can't do what you should be doing. I was reading that this morning. Excuses are nails used by incompetent to build houses of failure. See, don't make excuses. You find a way. And you find a way around. And I just want to tell you, Shirley, that God is with you. God is watching and God is seeing. Pastor David and we can only do so much. But God can do so much more. And you are blessed and highly favored in Jesus' name. And God has strengthened you and will continue to strengthen you, Shirley, and uplift you during this time of bereavement. Let me move on. All right? It describes one who listens willingly or is forced or by force and obeys willingly or by force. You know what this picture, let me give you this picture very quickly. It pictures a soldier that has a sword, if you like, right there in the back of an enemy. And that enemy feels the sword, and he knows that if he makes one wrong move, that sword could go right into him and kill him or disable him. And so he's held at that point, and he has to obey because he feels it. That's what this word actually pictures, and that's how strong that word obedience is. We've got to take God's word, and we've got a devil, I'm holding you to this. You're not going to do nothing. You're going to, every thought that you, everything that you say, I'm bringing it down. I've got you captured in Jesus' name. You're not going to rule. I am going to rule. And I've got the word of God, and it's pointing right at your back. One wrong move, and you are gone. Because I've got power, and I've got authority. So they either listen and obey willingly, or by force, or by pressure. And then verse 6. So that's verse 5. Verse 6 now says, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Listen to this very carefully. You cannot punish disobedience. Alright? You cannot punish disobedience if you're not obedient. And that's why obedience is very important. And I'm glad Paul put that there to the church. Because many people, they're ready to punish disobedience of others when they're not even obedient pertaining to the word of God and what God says that we should do and how we should do things. You can't do that. You've got to deal with yourself first and make sure that you are obedient and that you're not just obedient, but you're doing it willingly. The Bible says if you're willing and obedient, you will eat of the fat of the land, Isaiah 1:19. And so we've got to be ready to do that. So let's have a look at verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And in blue, this is the way I've blown it up. Taking, throwing, and knocking down logical thinking and reasonings of the mind and all that wrongfully asserts and exalts itself to dominate, quash, and control words or information that finds its origin in the knowledge of God. Bringing our thinking, ideas, and emotions forcefully or willingly under the authority of God to listen and obey all that the anointed one with his anointing says. And by the way, that's what the word Christ means. Christos, the anointed one and his anointing. And that's why that's there. So that's the way I've blown up that verse with the Greek interpretations of it. But let me remind you of a familiar verse I quoted it earlier, Luke 10:19. Jesus was speaking and he said, behold, I give you power. And you already said it, you declared it to me today that you have power. And you're only declaring what God has already said. I give you power or I give you authority. The Greek word for that is exousia, which is permission, which is permit, which is license, okay? So Jesus is saying, I've given you permission, license, permit to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. All right? So I'm going to close now with this because I'm a little over time. To win, I must use my authority that we've just read in Luke 10, 19 to do four things. There may be more, but I've chosen four. Number one, I've got to use my authority to establish commitment. If I'm not committed to God's word, if I'm not committed to God's way, then what's the point of doing anything else? And don't say you're committed to it if you're not going to do it. That means whatever task, whatever responsibility I have, no matter what comes up against me, I'm going to do it. Because why? Because I'm committed to it. That's what commitment means. Today, commitment in many circles is a dirty word. Well, I don't think I need to commit. Yes, you do need to commit. If you're a Christian, you need to commit. If you're not committed, you're not behaving like a Christian. Commitment. Commitment. I must commit. Number two, order. My life has got to be order. God is a God of order. And if I'm not a person of order, then what kind of representative am I? Am I a true ambassador if I'm not a person of order? I've got to have order. I've got to have order in my life. I've got to have order in my daily chores, my daily things that I'm doing. I've got to recognize who I am, know my place, but at the same time, I've got to make sure that I've established order in my life. Why? Because God is a God of order. God the Father expects His children to be like Him. So if God is a God of order, I've got to be a person of order. Before Jesus could dish out the loaves and the fish, before the miracle could happen, He established order. He got them to sit down in groups of 50. And when order was established, then He prayed, broke, and gave. And everybody's belly was full. 5,000 men, plus women and children. I've got to use my authority to establish order in my life. Number three, discipline. There's no such thing as a successful Christian who, without a discipline, how can you be a Christian without discipline in your life? You can't be. When Jesus trained the 12 disciples, they were disciplined ones. And they had to be disciplined ones before they could become apostles. They became apostles. A word apostles means one sent forth. But before you can be sent forth, you've got to be disciplined. You've got to be learners. That's what it actually means. Disciplined one. Methetes is a Greek, I think. Methetes. Disciplined ones. Learners. You've got to be a learner. You've got to learn. You can't learn if you're not humble. So you've got to humble yourself. Listen to your leaders, your teachers, your pastors. Listen to what we're saying as we divulge and share God's word. You've got to do that. Humble yourself to receive. Then when you humble yourself to receive, God is the one in His season and time who's going to promote and lift up. And then number four, I've got to be obedient. Because you see, if I'm doing all those things, I'm committed, I have order, I have discipline, but then I'm not going to be obedient to carry out the instructions that I'm given to do what God wants me to do, as we've just seen from the word itself. Punishing all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I've got to be obedient. And there we go again. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And that's verse 6, and I'm stopping right there. So, we just got to be... You've got to be ready to pull down strongholds, church. You've got to recognize who you are. Recognize that the enemy doesn't want you to behave like, doesn't want you to know who you are. And this is why Ephesians 6:11 says we've got to know the wiles of the enemy. Methodias, his methods, the methods of the enemy. That word also means a word. It's a route, or it's a road. We've got to know the route that he takes. We've got to know the road that he takes. Okay? So in order to conquer him, in order to overcome him. And so my prayer today, folks, is that you begin to pull down strongholds like never before. My prayer to the church is that you'll rise up to the authority that God has given you. Amen. No, rise up to it, man. Don't look around and say, well, I don't feel like it, or it doesn't look like it. Listen, when you come into this place, change the atmosphere, man. And you change it through worship. You change it through praise. You change it also through fellowship. So you got to be free with your brother. You got to be free with your sister. You got to be free. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Let me just pray. Just pray a prayer. So, Father, we just want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you, Father, for the truth that your word brings, Lord. And that truth, Lord, we are determined is
the thing, Lord God, that will prevail in our lives. Lord, I give you thanks for your leading today. Give you thanks for all that you are doing. We give you thanks, Father, for everything that you have prepared for us, Lord. And we thank you for the authority that you have given us, for the power, Lord God, the mighty working dynamic power that will work through our lives as we move in obedience, Lord God, to take authority, Father, over everything that comes against us, Lord. And also, Lord God, to claim what is ours, Lord. Healing is ours, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And you want us, Lord, as we opened up, Lord God, with that word, Father, you know, from Psalm 35, 27, Father, we thank you because you want us, oh God, prosperous. You want us, oh God, to be in a good place, Father. To in a place where we are healthy in every aspect of our life and living. Father, I give you thanks for your leading. I give you thanks for your praise. And Lord God, for your patience with us and for your glory. Lord, I thank you for my fellow brothers and sisters, Lord. And I thank you for what you are leading us into in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you all the glory. And Father, we give you all the praise right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we stand on our feet? We're going to take communion in a minute, but just stand on our feet for a few moments here. And when you're standing on your feet, just close your eyes for me, just for a few moments. I just want to sort of take you somewhere. What is there in your mind, in your life that needs pulling down? What's there? Only you can know. The Holy Spirit will show you. The Holy Spirit will help you. What hinders you? What stops you from moving forward, from using the gifts and the talents that you have? What is stopping you from true fellowship with your brothers and your sisters, from using your gifts and your talents and the resources that you have for the kingdom of God? What is stopping you? Because anything that is stopping the purposes of God and the will of God from is an enemy, and it needs to be treated as such. Now we need to pull those things down. And I want to tell you right now that you are bigger than it, that you have the power. You've seen it yourself. I don't need to remind you. You've got every potential in your life, in yourself, to pull down everything that opposes you and the purposes that God has for your life in the name of Jesus Christ. So as you stand there, I'm not going to point out or call forward anybody, but what I'm going to say, repeat this prayer after me. And if you've identified things in your life, then it's between you and God right now, church. You know what it is. And let me just say this, okay? Whatever you are facing, God already knows about it. So there's no need to be embarrassed. God already sees and knows everything. He sees and knows also the hurt and the pain. And I will, thank you, Lord, I will say this. I think I said it last week, I'll say it again. If you need to forgive somebody, you need to forgive somebody. And I mean truly forgive. For whatever hurt, whatever pain individuals have caused or you have caused in the life of others, I'm telling you now that you need to forgive. You need to release it. Because failure to do that will be holding on to that pain, and that pain is going to become the hindrance from your blessing coming fully into your life. I'm telling you the truth right now. So repeat these words after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I stand before you today. And I thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word washes and cleanses and makes me whole. I receive your word into my heart. And I receive, Lord, every instruction that you are giving me now to pull down, Father, every stronghold in my life. Everything that holds me strongly from moving in obedience according to your word, according to your will. So, Lord, I stand today. And I give myself to you. And I pull down everything. And I give myself to you afresh. Come into my heart, Lord. And strengthen me. And help me, Lord, to become a strong person that you've called me to be. I receive your anointing.
I receive
your strength now.
And I choose, Lord,
to forgive those who have wronged me.
I release it
from my life.
And I give you praise.
And I give you thanks
for the liberty that you have given me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And amen.
Can we put our hands together for the Lord?
No.
Come on. Let's praise God. Let's clap.
Come on. Let's give Him praise.
Give Him praise.
Hallelujah.
He's worthy of praise.
Listen.
When I say let's put our hands together or let's bless God.
You know what the psalmist said?
You know what the Bible teaches us?
Let everything that is within me.
So we do it deliberately, with might, with passion, with power.
We don't do it apologetically.
You know when sometimes somebody, you know, I've seen this in movies and I've seen this in places, you know where people do the action, they say, put your hands together and clap people, and then they do this.
That's an insult, isn't it?
A slow hand clap. Have you seen that?
When people do that, that's a slow hand clap. That's an insult.
You know, it's an insult.
We do not want to insult the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
We want to give Him everything.
Hallelujah.
Let everything that is within me
bless His holy name.
Amen. And so that's what we want to do. We want to praise Him.
So can we do that?
Let's praise. Let's do that right now.
Let's bless Him. Bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We lift you up, Lord. We bless you today.
And we thank you, Father,
for your goodness
and for your love and for your mercy.
Thank you, Lord, for your goodness.